Right, good chodesh to all. Welcome back to all those who have been away for a while. We're learning a complicated sugya. There is no question about it. Sometimes we think that brachas is an easier limud. It's not the case. It's not a simple limud at all. We saw in the last sugya it's complicated. This sugya is also rather complicated. We're going to learn Be'ez Hashem Mitzvarach today some Tosasim. It's a bit tricky. We have to take it slowly. As I recommended last time, very, very important, just like in the previous sugya, we had our charts and our boxes and we filled them in bit by bit. I think it would be useful to do the same in this sugya as well, because there's a number of different amoraim who are mentioned, and we need to know also what is the halacha lemaisa. So I think we should start right away with some sort of chart. Do you have a piece of paper there, maybe? The first opinion in the Gemara was Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. That was opinion number one. And they specifically are talking about Te'inim and Anovim, fruits. They happen both to be of the Shivas Aminim. I don't think that is particularly significant at this stage of the game. But we're talking about Te'inim and Anovim. When were they brought? Toich Hasuda. Tof. Vav, Chav Toich Asuda. So Rav Huna and Rav Nachman both said you have to make a bracha Rishoina, let's call that number one, but you do not need a bracha L'Achareihem, you do not need number two. So one, check, two, cross, or tick, we call it back in the homeland. So you have to make a bracha on the fruits, but you do not make a Birkas Hamazon on them. Rashi explained why not. On the one hand, you have to make a bracha rishoina because they are not tofel. That's the explanation. There's the halacha and there's the explanation. Why are you making a bracha rishoina? Because these fruits are not tofel to anything. Why do you not have to say birkas hamazon? The answer is, why do you not make a bracha achreina? Because birkas hamazon will necessarily include them. Simple as that. That was the opinion of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Very straightforward, simple. Fruit brought during the Suda, Toicha Suda, you have to make a bracha Rishena, they're not tafel. You do not make a bracha Achreina, it's incorporated in Brikas HaMazon, as simple as that. Opinion number two, Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, no such thing. You have to make a bracha Rishena and also a bracha Achreina. Check, check. He said you can't have one without the other. There was one exception, and that's called the Pasabor Bekisne. We're not getting involved in that for the moment. That's going to be a whole separate discussion, really coming up mainly on Daf Mem Beis Omad Aleph. So essentially the rule is, according to Rav Sheshes, you have to make a bracha Rishoina, which is not a Chiddush. That's what Rav Huna and Rav Nachman said as well. Why? Because it's not Tafel. The only point of disagreement is it included in Birkas HaMazon? According to the first opinion, it is. According to the second opinion, it's not. If you make a bracha Rishoina, you have to make a bracha Achreina. So far, so good. Says the Gemara, we have opinion number three, which is Rav Chiya. Because Rav Chiya gave us a very general rule, pas patters everything. And therefore, it would be cross. Why do you not have to make a first bracha? Why do you not have to make a bracha achreina? Because the bread covers it. It's all included by the bread. So whichever bracha works for the bread, meaning the first bracha and the second bracha, will work for that which is included in the meal. And it's as simple as that. By the way, he also added, which is not so much our discussion, that the same is true, by the way, for wine. Wine also, just like bread is the king food, wine is the king drink. So if once you make a bracha on wine, that necessarily includes all other mashkim, bracha rishona, bracha achreina. Those were the three opinions. Now we have, I don't want to call it a fourth opinion, but essentially it is a fourth opinion. We have to see what it is exactly. But now we have Rav Papa. And Rav Papa is absolutely crucial. Why is Rav Papa crucial? Because that is the halacha. The Gemara says Hilchasa. By the way, it's just worth pointing out, very often the Gemara will bring a number of opinions and will not necessarily tell us who the halacha is like at the end of the day, and it could be a machlokes rishonim, etc., etc. Over here, on the one hand, we have the maila, that the Gemara does tell us what the halacha is. The only problem is machlokes rishonim, how to understand Rav Papa. So it's clear what the halacha is, but what he actually meant by that is a machlokes, a colossal machlokes, Rashi and Tosas, and as we're going to see, Tosas literally disagrees with every single word that Rashi says. So we're going for the moment with Rashi. Now here comes Rav Papa, and we have to take it slowly. Rav Papa spoke about two different types of categories. Category number one was those things that come machmas hasuda betoich hasuda. Machmas betoich, two words. You've got those words? Omar Rav Papa Hilchas Advar Maboyim, machmas hasuda betoich hasuda. And over here, Rashi defined, what does that mean? It comes machmas hasuda betoich hasuda. So Rashi used that one word, which is very, very important. Those things that are there, lalafes bohen es hapas. Lalafes. What does lalafes mean? To enhance. Good translation. They're to enhance or enhance the bread. Lalafes bohen es hapas. That, according to Rashi, is the translation of machmas hasuda betoich hasuda. And under those circumstances, the Rav Papa told us, they do not require cross. No bracha rishona, no bracha achrona. And Rashi says a very, very, very important, look at Rashi again, ein tu'unin bracha, Rashi says, because they are tofel. So in your column where you have the explanation, that's what you should write. Again, this is Rashi, there's going to be Tosis coming up shortly. But Rashi tells us the reason why you are not making a bracha before or after, the answer is because it is tofel. And Rashi clearly spelled out over there, if you remember that Rashi, it makes no difference, therefore, what this food is. Whether it is peiros or whether it's mozoim, whatever it is, if its function is lalafes bohenes hapas, it therefore brings us back to the famous tofel principle. And if it's tofel, then obviously there's no bracha number one, and there's no bracha number two. So that's absolutely crucial. According to Rashi, what is the principle over here? One word, tofel. In fact, it's so good, it's too good. What do I mean it's too good? Be'ez Hashem, in a couple of moments, we'll see that Tosas doesn't like this. Do you know why Tosas doesn't like this? Because if it really is tofel, this is old news. We all know tofel. Tofel is a Mefurash Mishnah. Tofel is the oldest rule in the book. Whenever you have an ikka and you have a tofel, you make a brocha on the ikka, not on the tofel. So what I need Rav Papa to tell me that? Halacha, of course, is a mission. That's going to be a discussion. But either way, for the moment, this is how Rashi learns it. So again, Rav Papa is going to tell us three cases, or better put, there's case A and there's case B and 1 and 2. Case A, machmas hasuda betoich hasuda. The halacha is no bracha rishona, no bracha achrona, says Rashi, one word. Why? Tofel. Tofel. Lalafes bemnes hapas. Tofel. Okay. Then the Gemara said, now we've moved on to case B. What happens if it is shaloi machmas hasuda? Case A was machmas hasuda. Case B, and we're going to call it B1, is shaloi machmas hasuda. What does that mean, shaloi machmas hasuda? So Rashi says, for example, daisa. What's daisa?
Porridge.
Porridge, which Rashi said, what is the function there? It is not lalafis. It is to satiate you, and that's the main body of the meal. You eat porridge not to give taste to anything. You eat porridge because you're hungry. That's your breakfast. So therefore, case number one, or A, case A was those things that come machmas hasuda. Case two was shaloi machmas hasuda. But, I know this is a little bit tricky, case B now splits into two. So we're going to call it case B and one. If it is shaloi machmas hasuda, then there is a distinction to be made between betoich hasuda and la'achar hasuda. So, betoich hasuda, is the example we just mentioned, porridge. You don't have porridge as dessert at the end of your meal. When do you have your porridge?
During the meal.
In the middle of the meal, during the meal. That's the main body of the meal. That's why it's not there lalafes. It's not there for dessert or to give a good taste or anything. It's there to fill you up, as Rashi called it, lamozoin ulasoiva. So B1 was, it is shaloi machmasa suda, meaning it is not lalafes b'ayna sapas, but there is a distinction. Either it is toicha suda, and the classic example that Rashi gave us was daisa. Now that's the case. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, again, this is Rapapa, halacha is shaloi machmasa suda, b'toicha suda. The answer is it does need a first bracha, check. It does not need Birkas HaMazon. Why does it need its first bracha, says Rashi? Because it's not tafel. Case A, when it was machmas asuda, you're eating your food, whatever it may be, just as to like your jam or your fruit, whatever it may be. So that is lalafes, that's tafel. There's no bracha at all here. It is not tafel, you have to make a bracha. However, why is there no Birkas HaMazon? Because it's included in Birkas HaMazon. There's no after bracha. Why? Because it is included in Birkas HaMazon. Why is it included in Birkas HaMazon? Because this is mazon. This is porridge. Porridge is there as a main body of the meal to fill you up. That is the principle of Birkas HaMazon. What would be B2? B2 is machmas hasuda, but when do you eat it? Lachar suda. Sorry, not machmas, sorry. Shaloi machmas. So it's not there lalafes ben esapas. But when do you have it? After the suda. What will be an example of that? This is all under the case of shaloi. This is still B. B is shaloi machmas suda. There's just two cases, either b'toich or afterwards.
Fruit.
Yeah. You don't have fruit on the one hand to fill you up. You have a nice little compote or an apple, you don't have that to fill you up. So when would you normally have it? For dessert. Now here, if you weren't already confused, Rashi adds a couple of words. We pointed this out last time. Have a look at Rashi again on the fourth bottom line, the last word on the line, right at the bottom of the Omid. Rashi says, Dvorim haragilim lovoi la'acha hasuda. Now, before we even continue with Rashi's comment, we're immediately taken by the title. Why? Because those are not the words of the Gemara. What were the words of the Gemara? The words of the Gemara were after the suda. So it sounds like, chronologically, that is when you eat these foods. Rashi doesn't change the girsa. Rashi is teaching you how he understood those words. When it says you eat them after the suda, it means those types of food that regilim to eat after the suda. But it might well be you have it during. On occasion, you might just, somebody brings a fruit bowl to the table, and in the middle of the meal, after the soup, you have a little nibble from a grape. So over there, you might think, oh, now that's called b'toich ha-suda. No. B'toich suda means, how did Rashi define b'toich ha-suda? Is there to fill you up. You're not having a nibble at a grape to fill you up. Why? Because that is the type of food, sheregilim, one would normally eat it when? La'achar suda. So now look at Rashi. Kagoin peiros, says Rashi, for example, fruits, and that's why Rashi adds, afilu hevion b'toich ha-suda. Even if you happen to bring it during the meal, shaloi machmas lifton, it's not there to malafe se sapas. You might bring a grape to the meal, why? Because you want to put it on your sandwiches. Then, obviously, you do not make a brocha on it, because it's there lafis ben sapas. But if you bring it, shaloi machmas hasuda, remember, Rashi is translating, you have to remember this. Machmas hasuda means lelafis ben sapas. Shaloi machmas hasuda means not lelafis ben sapas, which basically means, according to Rashi, you can almost replace the word suda with pas. Is it machmas hapas or shaloi machmas hapas? Is it there just assisting the bread, your jam? No bracha rishonah. If it is not assisting your bread, then either it is part of the body of the meal, like the porridge, or it's not. It's just there as something extra. You normally have the extras at the end of the meal, and we call that dessert. But you could, in theory, have dessert during the meal as well. Which, by the way, is extremely negea l'halacha l'maisa. Again, I'm not going to get in what the halachic sub, at least the case. For example, in our house, Friday night, woe betide if we would wait till the end of the meal to bring the candies to the table on Friday night. You have to bring them just about we can manage after the soup. Now, is that lelafes buenas apas? No. So it's definitely, according to Rashi, it's not called machmas hasuda. It's shaloi machmas hasuda. But this would be a classic example of what? It's shaloi machmas hasuda. But would we call this betoich or la'achar? It's la'achar. What do you mean la'achar? I'm eating a smack in the middle of the suda. It's essentially a little candy just to have a nice little tasty in the mouth. The kids can't last out, you have it now. But it's not there as a body of the meal. At least it shouldn't be. If you see how much they take, you might be convinced otherwise. But that would be a classic example of where its place is essentially the end of the meal. Normally for dessert, you might bring out an ice cream and a little chocolate. So it happens to be you bring a chocolate during the meal, that doesn't change its status. It's not on the one hand there, melafes es buenas apas, but it's also not there as the body of the meal. It's just something a little extra. So what is the halacha there? Rashi says that needs a bracha both before and afterwards. Check, check.
I'm a little confused about Rashi's examples that he brings. Why? The porridge, the beets, the cabbage.
Right, those are all foods that you eat to fill you up. Nobody has a salad at a meal just as dessert. That's a part of the meal. If you have meat and you have your fish and you have your porridge and you have your salads, that's a body of the meal.
So you would include in this group your potatoes,
right,
and your vegetables,
L'chaira,
and everything else.
All the main content of the meal. Again, there's always three categories, and that's why this is a little bit confusing. If you have the categories clear, it makes it easier. You can have one type of food, which is the lelafes buenas apas, which Rashi says is toffle. Why are you having it? Just to down your bread. You have one type of food, which is, let's call it mozoin, which is, I guess, the most inclusive. That's your soup, and your fish, and your salad, and your meat, and your potatoes. And then you have something which is neither that or the other. What is that? Something which is normally la'acha hasuda. Let's call that, for want of a better word, your dessert. Your dessert. So there, why do you have to make two brachas? So again, Rashi continues his theme and says it's very obvious. Why do you have to make a first bracha? Because not toffle to anything. And don't tell me it's part of the body of the meal, so it got included in the bread. It's not. Because we said it's something you normally bring for dessert. Why is it not included in Birkas HaMozoin, the after bracha? Because it's not mozoin. Again, we're talking about the dessert. It's not mozoin. So Rashi's theme is really pretty clear and it runs all the way through. So far, so good?
Yes.
That I've heard more convincing yeses in my time.
No, I guess the reason I'm still trying to grapple with the idea of having to make a bracha on something you bring during the meal and we say that this is the halacha.
One second. Halacha lemaisa, we'll get to the end of
that. That's what
day.
I'm having trouble,
right,
jumping
okay,
from here to there. Okay.
That's the problem with
no
learning
problem.
Brachas. We know too much.
Right.
You have to start with a fresh sheet.
Right. Okay, got it.
I remember I used to learn in Haranof in a koil. We had a Rosh Chabura, terrific Talmud Chacham, married to Rabbi Yashu's granddaughter, and he was a tremendous writer. Every Gemara, every Sugi used to write up from pages and pages and pages and pages and pages. And I once asked him, I said, one second, have you learned this all before? He said, yes, I have a number of times. I said, well, in your last cycle, did you write then also? He said, yes, all pages and pages and pages. I said, well, do you look at those notes? And he said, no, not at all. Start afresh, brand new start. I don't even look at them, don't compare them. Fresh start. They say Rav Shach, when he used to give a shir klali in the Panovich Yeshiva, used to start the sugya from afresh, very often used to arrive, of course, at the exact same conclusion as you did 5 years ago or 10 years ago, because you learnt the sugya with the same look of emes, but there could be things in this chadish. So the problem is with brachas, we know a little bit too much, because hopefully we know at least the basics of Hilchas Brachas. So let's call this halacha, but as yet not halacha l'maisa. Okay, so do you understand what I'm saying? That when Rav Papa's lists for us the halacha, there's case A and there's case B, 1 and 2. Either it's machmas hasuda, which, as we said, basically is another way of saying machmas hapas, it's the lafes ben hapas, it's tofel, obviously there's no brachas. Then you have, that's case A, then you have case B, which is, it is not machmas the pas. What does that mean, not machmas the pas? That could be two examples. Either it is betoy hasuda, basically the body of the meal, Rashi's example was porridge, or it is not the body of the meal, it's just there as dessert, you normally have it at the end, and Rashi's example there was fruit. Again, it's all a little bit tricky, because in theory, your fruit could be there, lalafis ben esapas. If you put a slice of apple on your bread just to give the bread a bit of taste, it's not dessert, it's lalafis ben esapas. And to the contrary, what happens if you're having an apple party? Then l'chayr, the apples would be the mozing. Right? If you wash on bread and then have 10 apples and then you bench. So what are you going to say? The apples were dessert? Where was the meal? The answer was the apples was the meal. So we must be very careful. It's not limited to what the food is, but rather why you're eating it. As I said, there's three types of reasons. Either l'lafis ben esapas, or as mozing, or as l'acha hasuda, as dessert. That is Shittas Rashi. That is Shittas Rashi. Okay, having drawn up that chart, hopefully things are clear. Do you now agree that just before we see Tosfos, we need to just go back one stage? How did this whole Gemara begin? It began with Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, and it says, if you brought some fruits, b'toy chasuda. Whoa, stop. What does that mean, you brought fruit, b'toy chasuda? Why did you bring them? So remember now that Rashi, we discussed this early on in the week. Look right at the beginning, the very first Rashi on the sugya, Heviu. You got Rashi Heviu? Towards the top, about a third way up the page. Rashi says, Loi lalafeis benesapas de'im kein havalu tfeilu. Ah, beautiful. That's Rashi's old rule over here. That the minute it's lalafeis benesapas, it's tofel. Well, then obviously there's no bracha before or after, so how can there be a discussion about it? Ve'ein chaylek medava. There wouldn't possibly be any disagreement. She'ein ton bracha lo lefonav lo la'achrav. There's obviously no bracha before or afterwards if it's tofel. So that's not the case. Fine, so what is the case? Elo lefomim shebo lemasek es piv. What does it mean, lemasek es piv? So what is that? Is that case A, B1 or B2?
B2.
It's not there lalafis ben esapas, but it's also not there for mozain purposes. What is it? Just to give a nice sweet taste. That's another way of saying dessert. It happens to be that occasionally, as Rashi says, you bring it b'toy chasuda. What do you mean? I thought you just told me it's dessert. Isn't dessert placed at the end of the suda? Yeah, but now that we've got to the end of the sugya, we now understand better the beginning of the sugya. Because once, like we said, this is the key factor, Moirai v'raboisai, in this whole sugya. More important than what you're eating is...
When?
No.
Why
you're eating it. Not when. Why? If I'm eating it for purposes of dessert, then it doesn't matter when, even if it's during the meal, the candies or the fruits. This, according to Rashi, is exactly what Rav Huna and Rav Nachman are talking about. Rav Huna and Rav Nachman are talking about fruits which are not there lalafes ben esapas. Not that they can't be, they could in theory be, but that's not the case. How does Rashi know that's not the case? Maybe it was bought lalafes ben esapas. Rashi says, then it would be tofu. So what's the discussion? How could it be opinions? Or sheshes and this and that and the other? It can't be. Fine. Says Rashi, it's also not the mozoin. Rashi doesn't spell it out, but that is clearly apparent. So what is it? By process of elimination, we only know three types. It must be the last type, which we're calling dessert. But now we have a good word for it, lamasik. So we have lalafes, we have mozoin, and lamasik, to give a nice sweet taste in the mouth.
During the meal.
So what? Like we said, fruits also. If it's something which is regilim to bring after, then even if you bring it during, I couldn't care less. Again, you don't care so much what it is that you're eating, rather why it is that you're eating it. Okay? Now, let's put part one of the sugya together with part two. And now you'll see it's not as tricky as it looks. If Rashi told me that the Te'enim and the Anovim, that Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, Rav Chia, Rav Sheshes were all talking about, that's what they were discussing, and Rashi told us quite clearly that what? Rashi says we're talking about Mozein, not Mozein. And it's not Lelafes Benasapas either, but what is it?
Dessert.
It's their Lamasekas Benasapas. So what category would we call that in Rav Popper's terminology? A, B1 or B2?
B2.
Suddenly it's less scary. We've homed it in now. B2, what did Rav Popper tell us? Halacha, whether it's lemais or not, but what did he tell us the halacha is in dessert?
Say a bracha two before brachas and after.
Fine. So look now back at the top of your chart. Whose opinion was that? Was that Rav Huna, Rav Nachman? Was that Rav Sheshes? Was that Rav Chia?
No, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshes.
Rav Sheshes.
Can only
oh,
be Rav Sheshes. It's only Rav Sheshes.
Both before and after. Right.
So therefore, this whole Gemara, even though you've got seven lines in your chart, whatever it may be, but the upshot is that basically, right, Popper is telling you we paskin like Rav Sheshes. That's what comes out. If you connect all the dots, this is B2, and that's the key. That's why that very first Rashi in the Sugya is key. That very first Rashi, because remember, when you're learning the Gemara, you're groping in the dark. Why are you groping in the dark? Because the Gemara says you bring fruits during the meal. Te'enim v'anovim. That doesn't help me much. Why doesn't that help me much? If I tell you, if I ask you a shayla, what's the halacha of fruit that you bring during the meal? What will you say to me? I can't answer your shayla. Why not?
I don't know why it's brought.
Because I need to know why it was brought. And the Gemara doesn't tell us. That's why we're groping in the dark. So Baruch Hashem, the Rebbe, Rabbeinu Rashi HaKadosh, fills us in. That's why Rashi is absolutely crucial there in the beginning of the sugya. Crucial. Otherwise, the whole sugya is a waste of time. You brought fruits during the meal, this, is that, whoa. Why did he bring fruits? So Rashi tells you, I'll tell you what it isn't, and I'll tell you what it is. It is not lalafis. If it is lalafis, it's tofel, discussion, game over. It's not for mozoin either. So what is it? It's their lamasik. Want of a better word, we're calling it dessert. 1 second. What do you mean dessert? I thought you told me that they brought these fruits during the meal. That's what we said. It doesn't matter what, and it doesn't matter when. It matters why. That is the aside of this sugya. Again, it doesn't matter what you're eating. It doesn't matter when you're eating it, at what juncture in the meal. What does matter? Why are you eating this particular food? So therefore, when you eat the fruit, and the fact that it is fruit is basically totally meaningless. Why? Because I need to know, why are you eating the fruit? Are you eating it as jam? Are you eating it as your body of the meal? Or as you eat it, are you eating it lamasik bohenes piv? Rashi says it is the latter. If it's the latter, then that takes us immediately to the bottom line. that is B2, which is in the Lashon of the Gemara, Shaloi Machmas Asuda, it's not the Lafis Benesa Pas, and it is those things which are regilim to bring after the meal, i.e. dessert. And the Gemara tells us, double whammy bracha. Why double whammy bracha? Bracha Rishayna, why? Because it's not Tafel. Why bracha achreina? Because it's not mozin, it's not included in birkas. Hamozin, because it isn't mozin. So therefore it has no partner. It has nobody to fit into. Therefore, it has to be its own individual bracha before and after. That is basically the opinion of Rev Sheshis. So far, so good? Okay, that was the easy bit. Now we're going to see Tosfos. And Tosfos literally disagrees with every word that Rashi says. Now, Tosfos is a bit tricky, but at least you'll see when you want to get to the halacha lemaisa, we'll see we have to learn Tosfos. So now, let's go to right the beginning of the sugya. Look at the third Tosfos on the Omud. Heviu lifneim teinim va'anovim b'toich asuda. And Tosfos says immediately, like Rashi, so far they're on the same page. Okagoin she'ein bo'in lelafes es hapas. They're not there. Lelafes ela lekinuach suda. Kinuach is, by the way, the Ivrit word for
after,
like a dessert type thing. Right, 100%. So far Rashi called it lemaseik bohenes piv. Tosfos calls it kinuach, it's exactly the same thing. So at least Baruch Hashem, even though they might be disagreeing l'halocha, but they're not disagreeing what the case is. Everybody agrees that the case that we're talking about, fruit, during the meal, it wasn't l'lafes, it wasn't the mozin, it was there for kinuach. So far so good. Now, the next Tosfos I'd like to miss out for the moment, with your permission. Why? Because that discusses for us mainly Pasabor Bekisnim, which is not so much our discussion. However, look at the last couple of lines of that Tosfos and you might well fall off your chair. Tosfos says, Loi Kaimalon Kerev Sheshes. Have you got that? The first word on the line, La'acharov. Literally, the last couple of lines of Tosfos. Tosfos says, Loi Kaimalon Kerev Sheshes. We do not hold like Rav Sheshes. Why not? Elo Kervuna Rav Nachman. Why? De'ein halacha k'yochid b'mokim rabim. We do not paskin like the yochid where you have a rabim. Hey Gimel stands for halachis gedolos, that is the bahag. Now, Tosfos L'chaira is a fairly innocuous comment. You have a yochid, you have a rabbin, we go with the rabbin. But now that we learn Rashi, however, L'chaira, if we learn the sugya correctly, according to Rashi, who did we paskin like?
Rav Sheshes.
We did paskin like Rav Sheshes.
Rabbin could be considered Rav Huna
and Rav Nachman.
Because there's two against one.
Right, that's exactly. Yep, 2-1.
Sure, we could find someone else other than Rav Sheshes.
Could be. Had you lived then, it would have been 2-2, but you didn't. 2-1 at the moment. Tosfos says, Yochid v'rabim alocha k'rabim. Fine, very innocuous. No, not so simple. Because according to Rashi, the way Rashi learned the sugi, what we're calling B2, make a bracha before and after, that is Rav Sheshes, the alocha jolly well is like the Yochid. Which, by the way, might well be a fair question on Rashi. How can that be? That might be a kasha on Rashi. How can you learn the sugya such that you end up paskening like the yochid where there's a rabbin that clearly disagrees?
I just had that on the list.
True. Not perhaps the end of the world. We had in the last sugya, we had Yehuda, Rav Yehuda versus Chachamim, we actually pasken like Rav Yehuda. So it's not the absolute end of the world.
It sounds like they're saying Rav Sheshes versus Rabban.
No. Like you said, 2-1. Two Amoraim versus one Amoraim. All of these Amoraim. All of Amoraim.
So why don't we say 2-2?
No, because he's a later Amoraim. He's coming to tell us who do we paskin like with regard vis-a-vis the Machlokes and the early Amoraim. But what you're saying is a valid point. Maybe Rashi is not so bothered by the fact that it's 2-1, because also Rav Papa is also a man d'oma, so he can say whatever he likes. 2-2. If it is a machlokes tanoim, like you said, Rabbi Yehuda versus the Chachamim, then indeed, under ordinary circumstances, we pass him out the rabbi. But the last sugya clearly was not ordinary circumstances. We did pass him out the yogurt. Okay.
When it says Chachamim, is that usually a minimum number?
At least two. Definitely a rabbi. Definitely a rabbi. Okay, now we're going to miss out that long tosis. Let's go to Vayayin. Vayayin poiter kol minei mashkim. Now, what does that mean, that wine exempts all other drinks? What does that mean, wine? Which wine? During a meal or not during a meal? If you remember the end of the Gemara, remember the end of the Gemara? The end of the Gemara says, why does the bread not exempt wine? If you have wine during the meal, if bread exempts everything, then why doesn't it exempt the wine? The Gemara says wine is choshev, has different status. But essentially, we have no problem, you see from that Gemara, in bread exempting liquids, drinks. You see, that was the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara wanted pas to exempt yayin. The Gemara says, fine, yayin happens to be an example because it's very chashev, but if it wouldn't be yayin, it would be orange juice. Clearly muchach in the Gemara that the pas would pata the orange juice. Fine. Says Tosfos, therefore, olechoira mairi, it lechoira would be true to say that what are we discussing? Beyayin beloi se'udo. We're clearly talking about yayin without a suda. Remember, we've seen this already. The word suda is really a euphemism for pas. We're talking about wine not in a bread-based meal. Why? Di bahadi pas. Because if it is with bread, so what are you telling me? That the wine exempts all other drinks? Does that make sense? Excuse me. Taper clay, why would it not be enough? The potar le pas. The pas would exempt the other drinks. I don't need the help of the wine, thank you very much. The afilu yayin nami, even wine itself, rot salayma hasefa besomach, the Gemara wanted to say later, the potar. The Gemara wanted to suggest that actually wine itself would be exempted by bread. And the only reason that fell through at the end, ilav, if not for the fact that tamad de kovea brocha la'atzmai, it happens to be kovea, its own brocha, because it's very choshev. But the Gemara essentially was suggesting that what? That what would pas do to wine? Patters it, does everything. Pas is the king, food, drink, everything. It's top of the tree, that's the king. So if pas essentially, in theory, would exempt wine, so obviously it would exempt your orange juice. So how on earth does it make any sense to say the wine will exempt the orange juice? Excuse me. The pas exempted the orange juice. I don't need the wine's help. So therefore, we have no other eitzah. We must say that we're talking about that there was no pas. That's what Tosa says. Hello, Mairi Beloi Suda. Therefore, we have no other eitzah, no other choice but to suggest we're clearly talking about where there is no suda, there is no pas, v'afilu hochi yayin poita. Nonetheless, wine would exempt it. Says Tosfos, v'les hilchasa kivosei. I'm very sorry to tell you, we do not paskin.
Rav Chiya, right?
This is the principle of Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya says, pas is the king and yayin is the king. Says Tosfos, Rav Chiya, I'm afraid, does not make it lahalacha. And if anybody wants to know what halacha lemaisa is, this is halacha lemaisa. If you sit down, not for a bread-based meal, you have a shot of wine, you have to say a gofen. And if afterwards you have Coke, you have to say shakel.
But just water?
Any drink.
Even water? It doesn't
anything.
Pater. The gofen doesn't pater the
no.
Water?
No, gofen does not pater shar mashkin. with a maim is an exception, not that I know of, at the moment. Anyway, at least talk about Sharon Mashkim. According to Reb Chiya, it would patter. Says Tosfos, we don't paskin like Reb Chiya. How do I know? Says Tosfos.
If you take someone with a gaffer, does it patter it?
What do you mean? I can wait to somebody else, so that helps for my wine, for his wine, but not for the drinks. Veles Hilchas HaKavos say, we do not paskin like Reb Chiya. Why? Shaharei mipas poiteres. Even part one of his principle that bread exempts everything. Ein halacha kamoisai. Do we all agree? What did Reb Chiya teach us? Reb Chiya taught us two parts. Bread patters everything. Wine patters everything. Now one second. In part one of his statement, bread patters everything. Is that true halacha? Absolutely not. We see that Rav Papa afterwards makes all different distinctions. Machmasuda, Shloim Machmasuda, Betoichasuda, Laachasuda. Rav Papa didn't turn around simply and say, if you have bread, game over. That's what Rav Chiya would tell you. So I clearly see that Rav Papa totally disregarded Rav Chiya's principle part one. Says Tosfos, if part one disappeared, then part two disappears with it. That's what Tosfos says. Shaharei mi pas peiteres, quote, ein alocha kamoise. Elo, kipsak Rav Papa. Imkein, therefore, mehod de komar. Therefore, so too that which we say, quote, unquote, yayin peiter, etc., there too also less hilchasa kavase. There too we also do not paskin. So, Tosfos has made life a little bit simpler for us. There are less opinions that we need to contend with, at least la halacha. Rav Chiya is out. If you want to know leman or emes, what did Rav Chiya mean? Although we don't paskin like it, but we'd like to understand his opinion. But what did he mean when he says that wine patters? So that's what Tosfos says. Wine patters means when there's no bread. Because if there was bread, then the bread did the trick anyway. Okay, we're a little bit running out of time.
We don't even hold like that either.
So if you want to know Laman or Emes, Shleimus HaTorah, what was Rav Chiya's opinion? Says Tosfos, I'll prove to you, and I'm prepared to explain to you what he meant. He couldn't have meant when there was bread, because then bread would do the trick anyway. He meant where there was no bread. But Halacha L'maisa, you can disregard this opinion. We definitely don't paskin like part one. Therefore, so too, part two is out. Rav Chiya. His principle is not true. Okay, now we're running out of time a little bit, but we have at least enough time to make inroads into the next Tosfos. As I mentioned, I'm going to be away at the beginning of next week, but Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, Sunday and Tuesday. But as Hashkocha Pratis has had it, we could do with some extra time to have a look at these Tosfos. The long Tosfos and then the two at the bottom. The bottom Tosfos, by the way, goes all over to the next Omid as well at the top. So there's a lot of work over here. Hilchasa. Dvarim haboim betoich hasuda machmas hasuda. Pirish hakuntras. So Tosfos now quotes Rashi extensively and will explain his difficulties and why he has trouble understanding Rashi. Pirish hakuntras. Lelafes bohen esapas. Okay. Says Tosfos that if you look in Rashi, Rashi translates that what was A, what was Rav Papa A, everybody has this written down. What does it mean? Machmas hasuda. So Rashi's translation of those words, remember machmas hasuda is a bit vague. So Rashi translated, and that's what Tosfos is quoting. Machmas hasuda means it is lelafes bohenes hapas ein tuunin brocha. It does not require its first brocha. Why? Dahava lehu tfeila, because it is tofel. Okay, so everybody is referring to their chart, and you will see that on your chart of Papa case A, Machmas Hasu'uda, which Rashi translated basically means Machmas Hapas, and Aloch is that what? Because this is where the Rashi learns it is Tofel, that is the reason why it does not require its first bracha. Sounds very simple and straightforward. What could be possibly wrong with that? Sounds good, says Tosas. It is good. The problem is it's too good. V'loi nahira. It doesn't appear to me to be correct. Why? Tim Kane, masnisen hi. It's too good. It's basically a Mefurash Mishnah. Ikar and Tofel. This is the oldest rule in the book. The Mevarech al ha'ikar. Upoiter es atfela, umai komash malon. So what on earth is Rav Huna, is Rav Papa teaching me? You understand what I'm saying? That it's too good. Tosfos doesn't say that what Rashi says is wrong. It's absolutely right, but that can't be what Rav Papa is teaching you, because that's Mefurash Mishnah. I don't need it. It's Mefurash Mishnah. It's the rule that we've kept on quoting. We haven't actually learnt the Mishnah yet, but we're going to learn it, Mr. Shem, later on in the parak. And Daf Mem Dalet. This is the most famous rule in all of Hilchos Brachos. You have an Ikka, you have a Tofel, you have a Baruch on the Ikka, and it patters a Tofel. So what's your Papa teaching me? Comes, Machmas Asuda, Lafis Baz, you potter, why is Tofel? It's a mission. Don't need Rav Papa for that. Rav Papa was predated hundreds of years by the Mishnayos in teaching us his rule. So that can't be what Rav Papa meant. Not that what he said is wrong, Rashi Lalocha, that can't be what Rav Papa meant. Kasha number one. Kasha number two, V'oid Kasha. I want to teach you, by the way, Marav Rabbeisa, I want to tell you a very, 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 very important principle. I'm sure we've mentioned this before, but we were always taught this. School, yeshiva, we've seen this many times, but especially now, it's very relevant to us now that we learn all of Tosfosim. Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. Tosfos will on occasion quote Rashi, for example, and ask a whole string of questions. I disagree with Rashi. Why? Question number one, question number two, question number three, question number four, a whole string of kashas. Tosfos therefore says, I'm sorry to tell you, I learned the whole sugya differently, and this is the way you're going to learn it, A, B, C, D, E, F. Ah, great, wonderful, beautiful. You cannot stop there. What do you have to do in a case like that? You always have to go back now to all the questions and knock them off one by one and understand why the questions that Tosfos had on Rashi do not pose difficulties on his own opinion.
On Rashi's own opinion.
No, Tosfos asks kashas on Rashi, right, and on that basis he disregards Rashi and presents a new opinion. Okay. You have to go back to all the kashas and understand why, according to Tosfos' own opinion, were those kashas all answered. If the kasha is not answered, then I'm sorry to tell you, why are you any better off than Rashi? So clearly, Tosfos is better off, otherwise he wouldn't have disagreed. So this is going to be a classic case in point.
He doesn't just sometimes present a different approach or a different opinion.
Yes.
So it doesn't always disprove.
No, I didn't say it doesn't always disprove, but here clearly he explains why he disagrees with Rashi, because there's a whole bunch of kashas. So for the only way that we can clearly consider to have finished this sugya is when we finished all of the Tosfosim, is to go back all the way to the beginning and understand why all of the questions are no longer difficult, at least in accordance to the opinion of Tosfos. If you really want to continue the work, the next stage would be to try and work out how Rashi would answer these questions. Okay. So far we have one question, and that is, how can you tell me that Pshat in Rav Papa is because of Ikar and Tofel? Thank you very much. It's Mefurash Mishnah. I don't need Rav Papa for that. Question number one. Va'oid kasha, and another kasha. De parich besamuch. Because the Gemara asks later on, Yain nami niftere pas, quote unquote, four words. The Gemara asks later, where did the Gemara ask? On the very bottom line. The Gemara says, Yain nami niftere pas. Why should wine not be included in the pas? Why should the pas not include the wine? That was the Gemara's question. Now, says Tosfos, excuse me, umay kasha. I don't understand. According to Rashi, what on earth is the difficulty? What was the Gemara's question? According to Rashi, moirai v'raboisai. This is very, 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 very important. Look again, not at the top half of your chart, but the bottom half of your chart, in Rav Papa. According to Rashi, do you agree now with the following statement? According to Rashi, La Halacha, the only case that you do not make a bracha rishoina on food eaten during the meal is if it's tofel. That's the only case. That was case A. Case B and 1, you do make brachas rishoina. Achrayna, maybe there's a difference. Why in case B, A and B1 and B2 do you make bracha rishoina? Because that shalei machmasir, it's not tofel. The only case that you don't make a bracha rishoina, that's over here on your chart, is because it's tofel. So now, what did the Gemara mean when it says, excuse me, the bread should cover the wine? That was the Gemara's kasha? Excuse me, says Tosis. Let's just explain the kasha, then we'll see it in the words. What was the Gemara asking? If you have wine during the meal, the Gemara said, I don't understand. Bread should cover it. Whoa. According to Rashi, how does bread cover anything? One word answer. Toffle. Excuse me, what, the wine is toffle to the bread? What, you mean a wine sandwich? What's the most question? If the only case, la haloch, the only case that bread exempts anything you don't need to make a bracha is in the case of toffle, so how on earth can you turn around and ask me a question that the bread should include the wine? But it's not tofel. Look at Tosfos. Void kasha. The parich besamach. We're soon going to ask. Yain nami niftere pas. Quote unquote. Says Tosfos. I don't understand. According to Rashi, umay kasha. What's the kasha of the Gemara? V'haloi surely kasha shoysim ayayin. When you drink wine, einoi tfeilo lepas. It's not tofel to pass. Va'anan, and we, b'midi, on the subject of the tofel lepas mairinon. What does mairinon mean? We are dealing with the subject of tofel. Why are we dealing with the subject of tofel? Because according to Rashi, that is the only single, solitary case that pas will exempt anything as if it's tofel. So how can you turn around in the same breath and say, oh, so why doesn't bread exempt the wine? What type of question is that? Wine is not tofel. How can wine be tofel to bread? Well, you put wine on you between two breads, make it a grape juice sandwich? What's going on over here? Says Tosis, you know what you might suggest? Ve'ein lefaresh. And don't explain lepirush akuntras. Maybe you're going to try and explain according to Rashi, yayin niftere pas, quote unquote. Do you know what that case is? Kesheshoire pitoy beyeinoy koma. When you soak the bread in the wine, davele yayin tofel. Then the yayin would be tofel. Ah, maybe you're going to suggest to me, I do have one case. You're right, I can't smear wine on my bread and make a wine sandwich. Maybe it means you dipped your bread into the wine and then the wine really is tofel. Says Tosis, that can't be the case either. Do you know why? Duh-ha, because loy ashkechon, we have never found anywhere sheyavorei cholov b'inyan zeh. Nobody said that you do make a bracha in this case. What was the Gemara's question? Why do you make a bracha? Who says you do? Did anybody ever suggest that if you dip your bread into wine, you have to make a bari priag offering? Did anybody say that? That warranted the question, oh, but surely it is tofel. You can't ask a question based on a fact if the fact is non-existent. Whoever said that you do make a bracha in that case? Start punching me with big questions. Oh, I don't understand. Why would you make a bracha? Who says you do? If you dip your wine in the bread, dip your bread in the wine, obviously you don't make a bracha. That's a classic. You can't get more tofel than that. I'm just giving it a bit of a taste of a bread. So why would you make a bracha on the wine? Excuse me, nobody said you did. So that can't be the case. Elo vadai. So therefore we have no choice but to say Mairi ber shtir. So therefore we're definitely talking about not that you soaked your bread in wine, but rather you
drank it.
You drank it? Well, then I don't understand. If you drank it, it's certainly not tuffel. It's not tuffel, it's more kashrut. Konta Rashi, the only case that bread can exempt something else if it's tuffel. So what is this wine case? If you dip it in, definitely is included in the past. Nobody ever suggested otherwise. Elamah, you didn't dip it in. It's just a separate drink. If it's a separate drink, it's not tuffel, so why should it be included? What's the more kashrut? Okay, we're going to have to hold it here. I know we're sort of literally in the middle of a tosis, in the deep end. But this is a classic case, we've had this so many times, Baruch Hashem, where if you have a complicated sugya, if you just draw out the various stages and you have a chart, it makes it so much more simple, so much easier to have a cheshbon of the Gemara. Otherwise, it's just too confusing. Look at this chart. You have seven lines, two cases, A1, B3, C. Very, very difficult. If you have a chart, line by line, it becomes much easier. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we'll hold it over here. I will see you, Be'ez HaShem Yisborach, all being well, a week from today. Thursday, Pashas Vayetze. Hopefully by then, we will all have prepared the Tosis all the way till where it says Lachmanios. Which is, this is not a new Tosis, it's a continuation of the Tosis at the bottom of the page. Once we've done that, then we'll see. Either we'll go back to Pasa Boba Kistin, or again we'll open a Shulchan Aruch, but everybody can do it themselves. I would recommend this. We'll do it together as well, Be'ez Hashem, but everybody could do it, open a Shulchan Aruch, you'll find all the Mar Mekomos on the side of the margin. Have a look, see how it comes to a conclusion. Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, again, to get a feel of Halacha, Lemaisa, as well, Be'ez Hashem, Mishnah Berurah.